You're so precious, Lord. You're so amazing. We want to thank you for not leaving us in our sin, Lord, for not leaving us to waller in the mire. Father, you pulled us out and you set us on the rock, and we are grateful. We are a grateful people. Lord, we do love you, and we praise you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Hey, happy Mother's Day. Yeah. You know what? It was awesome. Could you hear them singing? I could hear them singing. That is beautiful. Yeah. You know, it's nothing like seeing young people worship the Lord. That's the beginning of a lifelong relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is awesome. All right, a quick prayer before we partake of the word. Lord, may your word come alive today. May we be encouraged. And Father, may we find a reason to rejoice always for who you are and for the blessings that you've given us, especially our moms. Lord, we love you and praise you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as you see in your bulletins, today's message is love is a three-letter word. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, that God is love. Now, we're going to be doing a lot of jumping around here, so just write these verses down because it's a topical message for you moms today. Yes, we're going to talk about the ladies, but guys, that doesn't mean this is time to tune out. Let me ask you, how many here had parents? Half of you, great. Well, I'm going to assume if you had parents, one of those parents was a mom, okay? That's an assumption. I know it's pretty wild for me to be making that assumption, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say most likely we all had moms. So guys, this will apply to you as well. So what is a mother? Well, here's the definition. A mother is a biological and or social female parent of offspring. Parent of offspring. Just having kids makes you a parent. But I like what Sidney Harris said. He says, the commonest fallacy among women is that simply having children makes one a mother, which is as absurd as believing that having a piano makes you a musician. It takes a lot. Anyone, any female can be a parent, but to be a mom takes something very, very special. But before we begin to develop that, I want to look at it from a rational perspective. And when we look at mom, at motherhood, from a rational perspective, we're going to see that, wow, it's amazing that anyone would want to embark on this venture, the motherly venture. It would seem to be a hazardous situation, right? Think about it. You take a fragile, defenseless little being and place it in the hands of two people who have no idea what they're doing. They have no experience. They have no credential, no instruction, no training, no classes, no mental exam to see whether they are determined to have the right sanity or competence. I know I would fail both of those. Okay? So there's no license, but it's strange that in order to operate a car, we have to wait to a mature age, take a written and a driving test before we're given the ability to maneuver a vehicle. Yet to shape a life can be obtained by anyone at any time to have a baby. What does it require? Well, it just requires the very basic understanding of the mechanics of procreation. Oh, and then the baby comes. And the two people involved are immediately promoted to the status of parent. Age, intellect, finances, not a factor. And there are risks. There are risks to having a baby. And the baby is unwillingly thrust into this risk. The baby doesn't want to be born. The baby is quite comfortable in his womb without a view. Pun intended. There are risks to your health, ladies. There are risks to your health. Parents, there's a risk to your fortune, to your future, to sometimes even to your happiness. Not to mention the pain of giving birth. Then the side effects, ladies, right? The waistline, the extra pounds that you struggle to lose, the dreaded stretch marks. Hey, and then what about the sleepless nights, right? You ever heard someone say, how did you sleep? Like, well, I slept like a baby. Really? So you woke up every hour hungry with the mess in your pants. Great. I don't know why people say that. I slept like a baby. When you really think about it, if you slept at all, it definitely wasn't like a baby. And then, of course, once the baby finally gets his sleeping routine down, then teething. Oh. And that doesn't stop there. They get past the teething, and then you enter the terrible twos, which pale in comparison to the terrible teens, right? Look, and then let's not even begin to address, but we're going to, the financial aspect. Listen, if you're a person that desires to be rich, having kids is not the way to go about it. Raising children is expensive. The U.S. Department of Agriculture back in 1998 averaged out the cost. A family making $36,000 a year, it will cost them $119,000 to raise a child. A family making $61,000 a year will cost them $228,000 to raise a child, not including college. So, ladies, happy Mother's Day. See, look, right now we're looking at the raw basic facts of having a child, being a parent, that parent-child venture. But love, as we've seen in the past, love doesn't look at cost, does it? Not at all. Not at all. And we're going to see a lot of parallels between the way a mom loves and the way Jesus loves. When we look at the parent-child venture, I see parallels with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. See, looking from a wise perspective, looking from the outside, to have a child seems to be foolish, but it's not at all. The wisdom of the world to embark on motherhood seems to defy all logic. Yet upon closer examination, there's a beauty that parallels God's love. And there's no beauty that even comes close to comparing to that kind of love. I think of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Ladies, you can definitely relate to this. You know, for Jesus, the cross was pain and suffering. And for you ladies, to embark on motherhood begins with pain and suffering. The 9 months of carrying that load. And then, of course, then comes birth. And there's no pain that even comes close to what a lady will endure. But she will endure this pain in anticipation of the wonderment of receiving that newborn baby into her arms, much like Christ enduring the cross to see a newborn believer to be embraced in his arms. There's a beautiful parallel there that we cannot ignore. A mom will go through that pain with tears in her eyes, tears of joy, and hold that baby and said, yes, it is worth it. Much like Christ when he endured that cross and he held you for the first time and he said, this is my baby. This is my son. Wow. I'm sure Christ had similar tears. Psalm 127, verse 3, behold, children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Ladies, your children are not just your reward, and it's beautiful to be loved by a mom, but it's also God's reward. Your children are his reward. And he says, you know what? I'm going to entrust you with something precious to me. See, us men, we try. We do try to understand what you women endure. But we don't understand it. Right, men? What do we hear before we get married? A woman will say, hey, my biological clock is ticking. And us men, we say, really? I don't hear anything. Or we think, you know what? Your biological clock is ticking? Great. That means I don't have to fix it. It's working just fine. Great. Why do you want to involve me in this? If it's ticking, it's good. See, and the reason why a woman will say that is because God has placed the desire in a woman's heart. He has equipped her with a special expression of emotion of love that says, you know what, as a woman, I want to bear a child. I want to love a baby. And you know what, the pain is not is not something that I even am concerned with. And men, we don't understand this. Why? Well, because as men, we have a hard enough time taking care of ourselves, let alone have another baby in the house, right? You don't believe me? Just watch a sick man. And he goes from man to boy in 3.4 seconds, right? He wants to be babied. That's why God knows this. God knows. Back in Genesis 2:18, he says, it is not good for a man to be alone. Why? Because he can't handle it. He can't take care of himself. That's why God designed marriage. He created the beautiful unity. And out of that beautiful unity, we get mother and father. We get parent. We get mom and dad. Wow. God is so good at creating beautiful things, isn't he? You cannot even begin to say, God, thank you. Thank you. And together, this husband and wife, this man, this couple, this mom and dad represent God's love, encompasses God's love. And here's the thing. Men and women love differently. And you're probably thinking, wow, Pastor Randy, you figured that out on yourself? Boy, he's growing there. No, but even look at the way men and women fall in love, right? It's completely different. A woman falls in love and the sun is shining. The birds are singing. Deer come and eat out of her hand. She's in love. The birds come and tie bows in her hair. A man falls in love and it was an accident. Nobody got hurt. He didn't mean to fall in love. He's like just walking along, minding his own business, and it's like he stepped in something. You know what I'm saying? And all his friends know that he's in love. They can smell it. It's like, hey, Randy's in love. Oh, man, I got love on me. And he tries to get it off. It's too late. You got love on you, dude. See, it's two different ways. Women fall in love. Men trip into love, I guess. But it says in Genesis chapter 1, 27, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. See, together, between the love of a mother and the love of a father, we have encompassed the love of God. You see, when we go about this life, what we need to realize is that every relationship that God has created in this world is to reflect God. Did you realize that? The relationship between a son and his father, the relationship between a daughter and her mother, is all an example of God and his love for us. We can learn lessons. God purposely put, I mean, here's the thing. If God just wanted us to be alive as humans, we could have been created at full adulthood. But he wanted to teach us lessons, even like in the workplace, the relationship between your boss and you. Or if you're the boss, you as a boss and your employees is a reflection of how we're to relate and reflect the relationship with God. And you can see that in Ephesians, but we're not going to go there right now. So God has created men and women on a small scale. He created us just like him, right? Doesn't God create? So he takes this man and woman, puts them together, and together they create this life and they become parents. But the woman is a special instrument of God. She really is. There's something so great. See, a man, think about this. A man can go out and with his hands, he can build a house. But only a woman can make that house a home. Amen. Only a woman can bring the beauty and the sweet fragrance that a house becomes a home, becomes a place of beauty, touched by a sweet fragrance of her love and her care. Men add fragrances that you don't want to be around. Because we work hard. We get sweaty. I don't know what you were thinking. But it is a neat, neat thing when we think about how God has made us each different. And he's made us different for a reason. Because it reflects who he is and how we are to function as a people. And we need to not miss that. And so often, I think in this life, we take those relationships for granted. We can take our mom for granted. We can take our parents. As when we were teens, there were times, I'm sure it was for you, where you just really didn't really care much for your parents. You felt like they were out to get you. It took many, many years before you realized that everything that your mom and dad did was for your benefit, was so that you can become a better human being, right? And there are different roles. There's different things. when a man and woman come together and they become this one thing that makes this house special. A mother's love is unconditional. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, how even when a son or a daughter go astray, the mother's love, and not to say that the father's love isn't like that, but we want to focus on mothers, but the mother's love never changes. Her little Johnny, her little Susie could never do something bad. Whether the child succeeds or not, there's nothing but joy in a mother's heart when she sees her child. There's no such thing as failure. And that's because a mother has a 1 Corinthians 13:7 love. She does. It says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things for her children. And that's the exact same way that Christ loves us. Isn't that neat? A mother can express and does express Christ-like love in her relationship with her kids. Sure, a father can do all those things, can have those unconditional love, but it takes a parent. It really does. Sometimes dealing with others, we find it hard to have that kind of connection, that kind of love. There's a beautiful poem about a mother. It goes, "A mother loves begins before the child is born and lasts through time and difficulties and differences and many wounds and days of joy and days of sorrow, whining, wearing, weeping, sharing, changing until at the end, what remains at that solid core, that which began as love before the child was born." See, a mother feels, a mother is connected to that baby even before the child is born. Yeah, sure, as fathers, we can put our hands on the belly and feel the baby kick and say, "Oh, that's my love." But the mother, what she eats, the baby eats, they share that combined life. William Thackeray says, "A mother is the name for God on the lips of the hearts of the little children." It's true. To a little child, a little baby, mom is God. That's the sustenance. That's the care. That's who the baby doesn't worry. He knows that when mama comes into play, everything's going to be taken care of because of mom's comforting love. The Bible says that God is love because his love is so complete, so pure. As we often see and we know, we're all familiar, we could probably recite this verse by heart. John 3:16-17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." See, a mother's love is sacrificial. I don't know how many of you have ever met my mom. But let me tell you, if you've met my mom, you've met a very godly woman. Even prior to her becoming fully sold out to the Lord, she was a woman who loved her children in a special way. See, my mom was an entertainer, much like me. My mom was doing huge shows, much bigger than my shows ever were. She was a true professional. And the problem came when my mom and dad had to leave me at my aunt's house. Because my mom was on tour. And one day, they came to my mom and they said, "Look, we want to take you on tour around the world." And my dad said to my mom, he says, "Well, do you realize that if we do that, someone else is going to raise our kids? I have two sisters." And he said, "I'll do whatever you want to do, Josie, because I believe in you. But you're the mom. So you make a decision." And my mom, she would practice 8-10 hours a day dancing. She was incredible. She was a very, very gifted dancer. And because of her love, she said, "We need to stay for our kids." And she turned down her career. She turned down her dreams. She said, "My dreams are not important as my love for my kids." And she set an example. She sowed a seed of example in my heart that said, "Look, the things that matter are what matter." And so when God placed it on my heart, he said, "Randy, I want you to live for me, and I don't want you to be an entertainer anymore." I could look back and say, wow, my mom put the proper love in perspective, and she was a great example for me. God so loved the world that he gave. My mom so loved her children that she gave her dream of fame and fortune for love. You cannot put a price tag on love, and my mom has instilled that in my heart. What a special mom. I am truly, truly blessed. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. You know, my mom never threw her sacrifice in the face of her kids, even when we were rotten terrible. She never said, you're being so bad, and you know what? I gave up this for you. No, she never did that. She just loved us. Wow. Christ-like love. That's a great mom to make that kind of sacrifice. And she did it willingly for the joy that was set before her. She endured the pain of childbirth. She even endured the hardship of giving up her dreams. Yet, sacrifice is the hardest part of being a mother, is it not, ladies? It's preparing your heart for that day of letting go. Ewich Fromm says, the mother-child relationship is paradoxical in the sense that it's tragic. It requires the most intense love on the mother's side. Yet this very love must help the child grow away from the mother it has become fully dependent upon. From the time your child took his or her first step, it was that first step to leaving the home. And a mother knows this. And a mother thinks about this. And a mother does all she can to prepare her child for those first steps. To lead to fatherhood, to leave to motherhood, and letting go. And that's so hard. And which brings me to Proverbs 31 woman. See, the Proverbs 31 is a mother-son relationship. The second stage of the motherhood cycle is where that mother prepares that daughter to be a wife or to be a mother and prepares her son to be a husband or a father. Every mother wants her son to find a good woman. And not as much as her son wants to find a good woman. But every mother wants her daughter to be a good woman. Because she knows all too well, especially for her son finding a good woman, she knows all too well what God knows. It's not good for a man to be alone. So the cycle starts all over again. And behind every good man is a great woman. Right? So if you have a good woman, then you're just a so-so man. But if you have a great woman, then you're a good man, that's for sure. Proverbs 31, this is kind of a conversation between Bathsheba and Solomon. And she tells her son, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not evil, all the days of her life. Wow. Is that not your mom? Huh? Is that not who you have been to your husband? Is that not awesome? Go jump down to verse 15 to 31. And she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. Wow, she's busy. She's busy. She stays busy. She's a servant at heart. I remember my mom. Man, I used to watch my mom. In the morning, my dad would be in bed and my mom would cook him breakfast and she would wake him up to a cup of coffee in bed every morning. I was like, wow. I remember seeing that as a kid. I didn't understand it, but as I got older, I was like, wow, my mom was pretty amazing. And then I got married. And I woke up one morning, I looked over, and my wife was still in bed. And I was like, something's not right here. But it's all right. It's all good. It's all good. And she blesses her children and her husband. It says in Proverbs 31, verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Gentlemen, praise your wife. She's endured a lot. She's endured a lot being a mom. Her heart is special. Do you sing praises of your wife? Do you put her on a pedestal? Do you raise her up? Do you sing praises? Do you realize all that she is and done and the beauty, the fact that it's not good for you to be alone, and that is who God said, this is good for you. And what about your mama? If your mom is still here, she's endured hardship. She loved you. She endured the pain because of you. Wow. What a godly love. What a godly love. Men, we have a lot of junk. We do. We bring a lot of mess to our wives, and they deal with it. I love this song. I'm not sure who sang it, but I remember the words, and it says, speaking of a woman's love, and the song's called A Woman's Love, a woman loves beyond her question, dreams beyond her doubt. Her heart will lead, and she will follow, even when there's no way out. Her eyes refuse to see the danger as she walks right through the fire. A man, he gives himself to passion and desire, but a woman loves. You gotta love that because it's so true. I love what Abraham Lincoln said. No man is poor who has a godly mom. So true. You see, as we looked at this study today, we realized that mother's love, a mother defies all logic. Does it not? It is not logical that a woman would want to endure that kind of pain, that kind of suffering. That a mother would do all that she does for no other reason than she loves. You can't stop it. You can't explain it. And let me ask you, honestly, why would you? Why would you want to stop a mother or even explain it? It's so good, it doesn't need to be explained. Kind of like God, right? You can't stop him, you can't explain him, but he's so good, you just embrace him. Ladies and gentlemen, embrace your mama. Embrace that love. And if your wife is a mom, embrace her and praise her and lift her up. Praise the Lord. Yes, God is a three-letter word that means love. So is mom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for our moms. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you for displaying that love through that beautiful, beautiful vessel called mom, called wife, called woman. Wow, love does not get any more tender and gentle. Just like you come into a heart, Lord, and you make us alive, so a woman comes into a house and makes it alive. Father, we are truly blessed by your creation. Us men, we stand in awe of the beauty that is woman, and you have blessed us beyond measure, exceedingly, abundantly, more than we could ask or think, Lord, right embodied in one creature called woman. Wow, Lord, wow. You're amazing, Lord. You have everything planned out just so perfect. And Lord, what a blessing. So Lord, we ask today, as we take one day out of this year to recognize the woman in our life, the women in our lives, whether it be our mom or our wife or our sister, Lord, we thank you. But Father, may we not take these beautiful vessels for granted the rest of the year. Father, may we always put these ladies up on a pedestal, Lord, for that's where they should be. They are gentle, fragile creatures, Lord. We are so blessed. And Father, we thank you so much for being here in our midst. And Lord, as we are going to partake of communion, Lord, let us remember the love that you displayed, that unconditional love, much like our moms. That unconditional love that endures pain, that unconditional love, Lord, that we may not understand, but is so good. God, thank you. You're amazing. You are truly a wonderment. You have blessed us with so much, Lord. And the ladies here in this room today, would they realize how special they are in your eyes and in our eyes? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We love you, Lord. We praise you. And we honor you. For you alone are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy. Holy is the Lamb who was slain to be praised and to be remembered and to be set on a pedestal in our heart. God, we love you. We love you. We love you.